This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to the latest episode of the Home Podcast, part of the podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
With the host is here, podcast. I screwed it up. I'm the Ted Smith with the podcast. Anyhow, in the lower square today, he's actually in his domicile hanging out. Just with the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Boys, it is the god dang summer, and somehow we get more and more low budget every week. Ted's messed up the intro. I'm on my phone with no video. Not walking outside today, so that's a big improvement. What the heck's up, boy? Can we get more ghetto?
We can try. I'm all for it. Back there getting the studio set up, making sure everybody knows when we're recording. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. I didn't vote for that lady's weird robot voice to announce that we're now recording. I like the element of surprise when we're just, you know, rapping. But what can you do?
Yeah, it's definitely the upgrade on the Zoom. They just upgrade the settings, and now you can. She tells you.
That's what I was gonna say. Like this awful technology that we've been stuck with for like a year and a half with no seemingly updates, and then it's like that was the big improvement that I noticed. Like,
yeah, you are being recorded.
I tried to get a fighter on tonight, but unfortunately the fighter I picked got dropped from the card. So hopefully next week we'll have a fighter on. We can talk about him starving as we lead up to Cage Fort MMA on Saturday the 24th down at the Emerald Queen. Also, that'll be the first time I've been in the new Emerald Queen, so I'm pretty fired up to see that place.
Dude, of all the ways to get dropped, I'd rather get dropped from the card. Wait, yeah, the new Emerald Queen, dude, that thing is massive. I don't know if people have driven down the freeway and seen that thing, but good Lord. Have you seen it, Ted?
Yeah, I've driven by it a few times. It is unbelievably massive. And they have the hotel in there now. They have the showroom in there now. It's like, it should be dope as hell. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, is that just like a little strip of Native American land right in there? Is that why they have like the two casinos packed in by the freeway?
Correct. Technically, that land is owned by the Puyallup tribe.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I was down there once, and during intermission, they did a blanket ceremony, which none of us are Native Americans. So I'll probably do a bad job of explaining it, but it's like a massive thing in the Puyallup tribe. Like, the guy had like worked at the casino for years, and it was like a way of saying like thank you for like honoring their traditions and being like part of the culture. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Dude, that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's like sometimes with sports teams and stuff, they take Native American nicknames, but they don't like the Florida State Seminoles, like they also like have an agreement with the Seminole tribe. Or like when I went to a game in Utah, like they're the Utes, which is a tribe in Utah. But when they came out at halftime, they had all the like elders there and everything and kind of explained what a Ute is and this and that. So they have a good relationship as opposed to just being like, I don't know, a pro football team in Washington, D.C. and just taking a racial slur and running with it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
All right, so we're going to start with this one today. I don't know if you guys have seen this on like TikTok or on Twitter, but it's about shooting hoops with your buddy, right? So you're just having a shoot around. It's two guys. So here's, I'll ask you guys first. Your buddy's shooting. He misses a shot. You get the rebound. Now, do you give it back to him for a layup and then he passes it to you, or is it just your turn to shoot?
Oh, man. Matt, you got to go first because this is a complex one.
Wait. So we're just messing around. We're not playing one-on-one.
Right. We're just shoot. You know, like two buddies sitting on a court. Like yeah. Sean and I were doing it at Jesse and Jamie's on Saturday.
And he bricks.
Right. He doesn't have to be a brick, but he misses. We'll give him a good miss.
Okay. So it's not like, hey, give me my change. It's just like, all right, I got the rebound. It's my ball now. I'm going to shoot it or dribble it or, you know, do whatever I do. I'm not very good at basketball. I'm not going to front like I'm going to do something sick with it. I'll probably brick it as well, and then it'll be your turn.
So, okay. Cobb?
Wait, so Matt, so you dribble out and shoot it yourself?
Yeah, if the ball goes in the hoop, you get change. The person has to give it back to you. That's the agreement protocol on the court, the unspoken, at least back when I used to enjoy shooting hoops regularly, that was always the game. You just get changed when you're shooting around. And if you miss, yeah. I mean, I guess does a person break for the layup? Like if you started running in for it, I might be like, oh, cool, we'll do the give and go or whatever.
Right. Like, so that's the argument. There's some people just play that it's your ball. Some people play that, like, you get the board, you pass it back to him, he hits a layup, and now you're in a shooting position, and now he throws it to you, and you get to shoot.
Well, you know, I would say it's a little more nuanced than that. I mean, obviously, if he makes it, he's able to shoot again. Where it gets complicated is when he misses. And if it's just a brick, it's probably going back to him anyway if he's shooting from the outside. But if he misses, you grab the rebound – he has, I would say, about a 1.5 second window to break aggressively towards the hoop, at which point he will receive a bounce pass in front of him to make a layup as you step out to the outside to begin your streak. If he does not make a break towards the hoop, I certainly would not give the ball back to him, and I would go out and shoot. That's my read. What do you think, Ted?
All right,
what did you do? I feel like you messed this up. That's the only thing I can come to.
I mean, for me,
who did you burn?
I didn't burn. I never knew this was a thing till I saw this on TikTok yesterday or 2 days ago. Like, to me, you miss the shot, I get the board. Now I'm shooting. But I think it's a regional thing because, like, I saw people from Maryland, like my area, being like, no, that's your ball. And then other people were like, no, you got to give it back to him. He hits the layup and then he throws it to you. And I'm like, man, I guess maybe I was being rude, but that's just never the way we did it.
That's what I was going to say. So on Sunday, when you and Sean were shooting hoops, how did it go down? Because that's two different regions.
So the only thing that happened was he actually he made one. And then I think he got his own board and threw it to me. And I was like, why are you throwing it to me? Like, make it, take it. You should keep shooting. But every other time we've shot, like, just shooting around like that, like, I've never given him the ball for a layup. But like, to me, if you want that layup, like, not only you got to break for it, I need like a clap or like, whoo, you know, like I need
a little call, a little something. You know, that seems reasonable to me. If I don't see a concerted effort to make a break, then that bounce pass ain't coming.
And I don't feel like we're under any obligation, even if they do break, like. There's no defenders. I mean, I guess if you're filming it for TikTok, but you still look like a jackass, like, oh, you missed it with nobody around. And then your friend helped you, you know, try and make a recovery that looks cool for nobody. Like, I just don't get it. You missed. It's my shot. We're just hanging out. I'm not judging you because I'm probably going to miss. It's all good. But, you know, if you don't get your change, I don't see what the big deal is.
Right. So, dude, listen, I'm 100% with you. It just said there's two types of people, and I just never knew that was even a thing. I never would have given a second thought.
That's interesting. Can we get emailers that have ever played a non-change and, like, help your friend make a recovery play against the Invisible Defenders game?
All right. I mean, so I'm asking, like, how did you guys grow up? Like, right, the dude misses, it's your ball, then you start shooting, and when you miss, he gets it.
Yep.
Gobber?
Yeah, usually, you know, I would say typically it was a situation where, you know, they're on the outside and you kind of feed them five or six. And if they miss one bad, you know, like it bounces kind of deep into the key, then usually I'll just grab it and step out and start shooting. But no hard, fast rules over in Juanita.
See, all right. So this is kind of the bigger question. I think it's just a regional thing. It's like everybody from New England was like, oh, no, you got to give him his change. He's got to get that bucket, which I will say. Like, when I shoot hoops by myself, if I miss a shot, I always go hit a layup just so you get the feeling of putting the ball through the hoop.
Yeah, I like that, man. Hooking yourself up. That's, you know, there are regional things that can come across as rude, like the whole escalator thing. I notice it always coming out of the light rail. I'm a guy who likes to walk up the escalator. I get that there are people out there who don't. And sometimes after a long day of work, I'm that guy. But if you're not going to walk up the escalator, especially a very long one like coming out of the light rail, you stand to the right. Known thing on the East Coast, the West Coast, you know, subways are pretty new, I guess, from many of the cities, and people don't do it. That's, you know, and it's over and over again. It's, you know, it's, that's one of those things that to me seems very impolite, but just a regional thing.
Yeah, and trust me, I'm 100% with you on that one, especially too when you're at the airport with like one other buddy. And you know people are in a hurry, and he's just standing to the left of you talking.
Oh, my God.
You try to step in front of them, and then they keep it up, and then you try to strike, right? Like, Cobb, you're one of the only people I can walk with that gets that. Like, I'm not going to mention me, but I walk with some people, and it's like, look, if it's a small walkway, like, I'm still listening. I just either got to be in front of you or behind you so this person can pass us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can still maintain conversation, or the conversation may need to take a pause for a second while we, you know, extend this courtesy. But under no circumstances are we walking two abreast in an area that can only handle two.
Yeah, and don't even get me started on the people movers. When people just stand on those things, it's like, look, if you want to stand, you better be to the right. The whole point is you walk on it, and that's what moves you faster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, and they move so slow, like. Yeah, it's like in racing games, like F-Zero, how you hit those little arrows that speed you up. Like, it's not meant to be like in Mario Kart where you fall off the track and that guy like comes down with the cloud and like puts you back on the track slowly. It's an accelerator.
All right, so other than like that pickup game or like shooting around rule, I was trying to think of like other regional things. I think the biggest one is just words, right? Like, the first time I heard hella was Gwen Stefani, hella back, or holler back. No, hella something. Good. Hella good, right. Holler back girl is a different song. But right, like if you don't, and Cobb, you know this better than anybody, right? You grew up on the West Coast where hella's big, and then you went to school in Boston where everything's wicked. But like nobody in Maryland says wicked. Like I say it once in a while joking around.
Yeah, a lot of regional diction, you know, and I love regional diction. I mean, in Boston, you have bubblers and what do they call shopping carts? The carriage, you know, weird stuff like that. When they asked me what I thought a bubbler was, I thought they were talking about a bong. That was not a fun conversation with my friend and his parents. But I feel like, let's see, as far as like other regional like courtesies and stuff like that, I think the rules of games differ regularly, whether that's, you know, cornhole or, you know, frisbee or something like that. So I would say the rules of games, the names of games definitely are different. And then, yeah, I can't think off the top of my head of any like common courtesy things, but they definitely exist.
Yeah, I mean, words are the easiest, right? Because is it a soda? Is it a pop? Is it just like where I grew up, you just call it a Coke. And they don't have, they go, we only have Pepsi. Like, yeah, sure, whatever. Right? Then there's like orange soda, grape soda, like everything just goes by its name. So it's either grape soda, orange soda, like Mountain Dew, Sprite. Other than that, it's just a Coke. And like Coke and Pepsi can be interchangeable, but yeah, I'll take a Coke.
Let me get a non-regional cola. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any other like things that totally stand out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, food's an easy one, but that's just a, like, that's a regional thing, but I think everybody knows it. That basketball one just caught me off guard when I saw people on Twitter being like, no, you got to give him his change. I was like, what? I've never, like, I mean, again, I never played. I played 1 year, I think, in grade school. And, like, I went to a, like, I used to teach at a basketball camp for Coach Wooten, but, like, I don't know. I never heard of that rule. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh, I guess that is a regional thing.
Yeah, I mean, I played basketball for 6 years growing up and then coached kids for one day, and it went horribly. But I think I've never heard of that rule. That was for you, Ted.
All right, good.
That's great reference.
Ted, good reference for.
Are you saying they call it change when somebody misses a shot and you give it back to them for the layup?
Yeah, like give them their change.
No, the change is when like you make a basket and you get the ball back.
Yeah.
I don't even know, because to me, if you miss, I'm shooting.
Right, exactly. But the when somebody makes it, you give it back to them, that's called giving them their change.
All right.
Well, that was a thing when I grew up in California that apparently was not a thing in Maryland. And then apparently in other places, they're calling giving people the miss the exact same thing.
Oh, no. It changes only if you made it.
That's
otherwise,
what I
it's
thought.
Just a pity layup.
Yeah. Pity layup is accurate.
Pity layup. What do you got there, fella? What are you working with, a pity layup?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Take your pity layup. I keep forgetting that's the rules now.
Oh, all right. We'll take a you know, a small commercial break right now. We'll be back in a sec. All right. Welcome back. Thanks again to our sponsors. They just give too much. They give too much. All right. So, Mr. Cobb, we're not going to get into specifics here, but we were talking about when you have two invitations to something, how do you weigh them out? Now, we have a small person birthday party, but you also have a wedding.
Yeah. And, you know, this is one of those situations, I would say, where the details matter. Okay. So, I think there's a couple levels to this, and I'm really interested to hear your guys' thoughts before I give you mine. But the basic situation is that I was invited, allegedly, to a wedding of someone who I have never met in my life, but is a friend of the person I'm dating. Ah. 2 days prior, I had received an invitation to a child's birthday party. This child is, what, turning three? Two?
Three, I believe.
Three. I said yes to the birthday, so I was already predisposed. I had prior obligations. Then this wedding invitation came up, but apparently it had been sent in the mail weeks before, but not received because it was sent to the wrong house. So, you know, there's some layers to this. What would you guys do? I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's
I'm in a tight spot.
That's a tough one. Like, if it was somebody I didn't know, but I like they were a friend of a friend and they invited me, I'd say blow it off. But if it's the person you're dating and they know the person, I don't know, man. I feel like you might have an obligation to go.
Right. So that's the thing. Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I hear what Ted's saying.
You guys
saying.
Have a stake. You guys have a stake in this because you're going to one of these events.
Right. I mean, I hear what Ted's saying. And, you know, I do think it's worth considering that if you do go to the wedding, it's going to feel more like an obligation. Like you kind of nailed it with the terminology there, Ted. But if you can do that without, you know, FOMO and resentment and stuff, you can still have a really good time doing that and definitely score some points with your relationship that you're in every single day. You know, the 3-year-old's not going to be too bummed out. We'll miss you, and the parents will, but yeah, it'd be totally understandable. You would be missed, and you could make the most of it. But I mean, I think we know that if it was your choice, you'd be at the party.
So what should I do?
All right. You know what? Let's back up for a minute. Are you going to be in the doghouse if, say, you didn't go to the one thing with the significant other?
You know, Ted, I just gave you a tour of my apartment. And for people who don't know, it's a tiny studio. And there is a literal doghouse. My bed sits up on a pedestal. Well, I should say my girlfriend's bed sits up on this pedestal. And underneath, there's a second secret bed for when I can't sleep because she's rolling around. So would I be in the proverbial doghouse? I would say so, but you know, I don't know, man. I went to a wedding already this summer that I probably should have not gone to. And I, you know, weddings are weird because you don't actually even get to see or talk to the person whose wedding it is. Like, they're busy the whole day, right? So like, you're going out of this sense of obligation, and they're only inviting me out of a sense of obligation. They don't even know who I am, you know? And so it's like, well, what are we doing? Like, there's a lot of fakery, in my opinion.
All right, one more question. How tight is your girl with the people getting married?
Not that tight. It is the cousin of, oh man, I don't want to get too specific.
The cousin of her, not her.
Oh yeah. Her sister is married to a guy whose cousin's birthday it is, or cousin's wedding it is, but they are next door neighbors. Him and his cousin. So they grew up together.
Man, I mean, I'm going to defer to Matt. Like,
what?
Don't ask the one guy not in a relationship. I'm like, oh, dude, blow that off. Come to the birthday party. It's going to be a fucking bouncy house, man. A bouncy house. I guarantee you the wedding doesn't have a bouncy house.
Ted, I love you, man. I really do. He calls it like he sees it.
Right. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll call Brett and get Bex's opinion. Maybe she has a better view on this. Because I'm like, yeah, blow it off. She barely knows. I'm like, why do you have to be there?
Yeah, exactly. Why should I change? She's the one who sucks.
Yeah, I mean, can you like, have you taken a temp on the level of the doghouse if you don't go?
Dude, so that's the thing. In this invite, I got invited right before this podcast started, and they need an answer tonight.
Oh!
Oh!
So this is live, boys. This is a crisis situation at my house. That's why I'm turning to you as my friends for real advice. This is happening now.
I mean, I have to go against my own instinct here and say, go to the wedding. Like, obviously, I would prefer to see you at the birthday party and, like, the three of us jumping in a bouncy house, but I don't know. The instinct is to be like a good friend and be like, just go to the wedding.
But also, dude, here's the thing that gets me, Ted. And I'm only going to say this because you guys are close to me, but the balls you got to have. You and I were just talking about how every weekend in the summer is booked. It's Seattle, man. It's the only time you can do anything. The balls you have to like book up a weekend for someone that you don't even know.
Well, all right, so they need to know tonight? Like, are you a last-minute ad, or they just didn't get to you till tonight?
I think they just called to be like, what's the deal? We haven't heard back. And today was that call. So then I hear about it tonight. I've got, you know, 2 hours to decide on one of, if not the biggest weekend of the year, first weekend in August, Seattle summer.
Oh man, that is a tough one.
Yeah, real shot to the nuts, hey boys.
Boy,
I mean, I don't know. My general
weekend.
Like, I when mean, this right, technically you should be busy. I don't know. When this podcast is over, smoke a little weed, take a walk, and you'll come up with a decision.
Man,
God.
Well, how is the wedding here in the state, or you got to like drive somewhere?
got to drive to Oregon. I actually like Oregon for what it's worth, but it's at a country club. It just doesn't really, I don't know. Something ain't right, boys.
Was the girlfriend excited about passing this invitation along to you?
Barely. Ooh. Barely. But upset when I indicated that I was probably out.
I mean, that helps. If she already thinks you're out, then maybe we're having this discussion. We get done with the podcast, and she's like, all right, cool, whatever.
I mean, in all fairness, we're also coming off a conversation of she was trying to get me to go on two separate trips out of state to visit her friends during July and August. And I just said, no, I'm not flying to Cleveland in the summer or South Carolina in August.
Oh, yeah.
So this is invite number three.
Oh,
I did not help you this weekend. She was like, tell them how great South Carolina is. I was like, it was awesome.
Yeah. It was like in August. Yeah, that's right. That was funny. I forgot about that combo. So, okay. So basically, you guys feel like it's corporate optional.
I mean, the detail
the balls, of Ed Smith, the balls, the first weekend in August.
Okay. Here's where I'm a little stuck is like, If I'm wondering if those first two, like I'm not going to Cleveland, I'm not going to South Carolina, kind of set the tone of like, look, this is how I roll in the summertime, right? And now this third one, she's just like, yeah, that checks out. This is how he is.
Consistency.
Hmm. Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah, but it's also a great opportunity to dodge the flying ones and take an easy one. You know, to get the points and like, yeah, I'll go down to Portland or to Oregon with you, wherever in Oregon it is. Right. And that's a pretty easy one compared to the two that you declined. But she wasn't that upset when you indicated you were out, man. We've got information here in these last couple minutes that I'm still torn on.
Right, but
I feel like this is why Ted and I are always single. These conversations are just like, naturally, I feel like we just don't make the right choice.
Just
my impulse is to say, hell no, that's selfish to even invite me. How dare you? First weekend of summer. How dare you? Have some shame. Have some self-respect.
Okay, so this is the same conversation I had on Saturday, because another friend of ours was like, I really got some good advice from your buddy's wife. And I was like, well, yeah, because it wasn't just fucking three dudes sitting around giving terrible advice to each other.
Yeah, three dudes sitting around drinking beers, you know, like filling your mind with misinformation. This is real life.
Yeah, I mean, the more we talk about it, I'm like, have fun at that wedding.
Yeah, just do it, man. Just do it.
Wow. Unexpectedly, Matt's girlfriend in the background is shaking her head no.
Yeah. I was just looking at that.
Ask her.
Tower?
Care to weigh in?
I mean, I don't ever go to weddings. My friends don't ever have weddings. So I'm not a fair person to ask. To me, I'm like, I can't believe you're going to go to this wedding. It's so last minute. This is a prime time weekend.
All right. Well obviously, Frank, Tyler man. Has.
And in addition to that, Cobb, I just also want to say that weekend, also in addition to Frankie's birthday, is my birthday weekend.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
And I'll be there.
The complexity. Jesus.
There you have it. Glad we got
I mean, Cobb, look, I took a stance. Now I'm not going to help you. So I'm like, yeah, the birthday's on Saturday. I can imagine some of us will be up there Friday hanging out too.
Oh.
Yeah, what day's the wedding? Could you squeeze both in?
That's why I was saying I wish I had a plane. I mean, the wedding's on Saturday. But, you know, it's a long drive down there. There's probably some Friday night dinner that I haven't been told about yet. You know how weddings are, man. There's a bunch of extra activities. I'll end up paying for like an expensive hotel room near a country club. Like, it's all bad news, boys. Just, I think I'm going to have to take an L. That's what this conversation is leading me to.
Right. So I think what we've come to is that like, you don't want to go, but you probably should go.
Dude. And that's no way to live life. I take issue with living your life, like doing things that you should do because people want you to do them. I don't even know this guy. He doesn't know me. He's not even going to know if I'm not at the wedding, you know? But it just is what it is. I don't like those societal rules.
Cobb, you're completely right. But I don't think this is society. It's not society. This is just how relationships work.
God, well, we're getting older, aren't we, boys?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this, 22-year-old me, cut and run.
Well, here's the plus side. If we didn't like your girlfriend, I would have been like, fuck that wedding. You're out. This is so important. But I'm like, God damn it. I like her. Like,
that's what I was thinking, too. Because I was even more selfish. I was like, bring her to the party, dude. We like her. Explain we're going to be there. Did you hear it's Tyler's birthday?
Boys. All right. Well, maybe I'll reach a compromise. Maybe they'll move the wedding for me. I think that's the move.
Email them back. Could you reschedule?
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Yeah, how's the Sunday work? Because I got a 3-year-old's birthday. Okay. She only turns 3 once. You might get married many times in your life.
Statistically speaking.
Oh, man.
That's just math.
I'm a numbers guy.
All right. All right. What? I don't know what the decision is. You're on your own here, friend. We gave you our thoughts.
I'll be at the next one.
I think it's about time to read some emails. Jesus Christ.
Boys. All right. What do we got for emails? Let's see. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
So, I hope corduroy come. Oh, we were talking about what trends do you hope come back? Because cargo pockets, cargo pants are coming back. Matt kept the flame, the torch alive. And now I'm seeing them in stores. I'm seeing young people wearing them, or at least marketers try to get young people to wear them. Okay, so that with that background. So, I hope corduroy comes back in style. I rocked it in the late 90s, early 2000s, and now buy custom patchwork from Barter Fair. Ted, you must go when this COVID crap is over. But I really like it and think it should come back. Matt, I'm 35 and been rocking cargo shorts as long as corduroy, even in the winter with tall socks or long johns. Also, I love pogs. LARP on, boys.
Hell yeah.
He's exactly right. Like, I was at the tail end of when corduroy was still cool, and I had some like in eighth grade and ninth grade. They were some of the best pants I ever owned. Awesome.
I only ever had one pair, black corduroys, eighth grade. I felt like a baller, but that was really the only, I think I was same thing, tail end.
Yeah, I had like forest green ones. I love those pants.
I lived where in California you guys at when they were big. So
sorry, go ahead, Matt.
So I always thought corduroy was too hot because I lived in California. But I was just thinking, like, it could make a comeback while I'm in Seattle. Like, there's a lot of months I could get some use out of that up here.
Dude, not only that, like, corduroy is comfortable to wear, but also, like I have, like, everybody has, like, fidgety habits, right? It's like I stand up or pace around, but also, like, I end up rubbing my knees a lot or something. Like, when you're wearing corduroy pants, that's a nice little pet sesh.
Yeah, I should clarify. I like the thicker corduroy. Like, that thin stuff doesn't do it for me.
Like, I'm real thick and juicy, huh?
Yeah. Why, you like the thick boys. 2C, 3Cs in corduroy. Thick corduroys.
Mm-hmm. So, boys, given that cargo shorts are on the rise, will you go back to cargo pants if they become popular?
Oh, in a minute. No problem.
All right.
I couldn't see that happening. My legs are too short.
All right. Last email. Do you guys think you will ever have t-shirts to purchase?
I mean, I would prefer probably not, because if we do, it would probably be through, like, the company store, and they'd cost more than I like. But I don't know. We might one day. But I will tell you this. The next time we have a The Podcast get-together, there'll be T-shirts there. I might charge people a cover fee for, like, a charity. But, yeah, I know a hookup on some shirts. I think we could get some and probably just toss them out.
Oh, so you're talking about that underground.
Boy, what you think I'm talking about?
Hell yeah.
Dude, now I feel like we're like low budget, like rappers, just like hustling, you know, hustling whatever we can. Anything you want to buy with our logo on it, we're in. I would personally love to have a The Podcast shirt. I think that'd be dope. But I'm with you about trying to circumvent the man. How do we do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's just like a thing, like donate a couple bucks to whatever charity. Boom, you get a t-shirt.
I like that.
Dude, I'd rock that. I would love, oh, dude. Yeah, I just realized my total lack of follow through. We were talking about back to basics hoodies at one point. I was just like, oh, I would love a hoodie with back to basics on it.
Dude, you know what? I'll text our guy right now when we get into what's mattening.
Okay. All right. Hell yeah.
I mean, hell, boy. We know the damn hookup.
We do.
I know.
Like, are we gonna say his name? No.
No, I don't want to use names to get people involved in my weird conversation I'm gonna have at work. Did you guys give away t-shirts? What t-shirts?
Yeah. And I'll say this. If it helps in terms of the volume, I got 100 on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the other thing too. Like, we could put them in the shop, but other than a few people, we'd have to see what the interest is too.
Yeah.
Dude, I like the underground, man. I'm down with that. Yeah, I'll donate $100 to the World Wildlife Fund.
I think when we donate the money to pay for the shirts, like the three of us, and then other people would donate to charities to get them.
Correct.
Matt, it's a scam. It's a pyramid scheme.
Right. Also,
the money all goes to Sluggers. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that's where it's going to end up, either King Street or Sluggers.
Yeah, all roads lead back to King Street Bar and Grill or Sluggers.
Ironically, I'm having steaks with the owner of King Street on Friday.
Oh, very convenient, Mr. Smith. Very convenient.
All right, let's check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening, check out with what's mattening.
All right. Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but the big thing this weekend was going up and seeing you guys and some other friends up at a little get together that we hadn't, a lot of people we just hadn't seen since before the pandemic. And that just felt really good. That was a lot of fun to see some familiar faces that, a lot of them I hadn't seen except for on Zoom, on the ones that you were, you know, setting up, Ted. So that was just like so much fun.
Right, because most of these people we see at least a couple times a year at parties or summer meltdown. Then it was like we all kind of stayed connected on those Friday night Zooms, and it was just fun to see everybody together and like hang out.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be like, you know, I think there's just going to be a lot of that this summer, you know, and yeah, it was just so fun to be able to see a bunch of friends. Yeah, we saw, people don't know all the names, I would say, but you know, if you know George from listening to our podcast over the years, I hadn't seen him in way too long. That was fun. And yeah, we just had a great time. So, you know, thanks to Taryn and Brad, and everybody else that contributed to such an awesome time. It felt like we were back for a weekend there.
Oh, for sure, dude. I mean, it was freaking awesome. Yeah. Not only that, like, I realize it's been too long since I've hung out in a net.
You got net time.
Not only did I get net time when Clausen was on, I almost got net stuck.
During Clausen? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, me, my buddy Ben, and, like, Brett and Bex, like, after 20 minutes, I was like, all right, we got to get out of here, or I'm never making it out of this net.
Wow, I got trapped in the net during DJ Feelgood. And
all right,
that was, similar. It's very comfortable in that net.
Right. So what we're talking about is Brad and Taryn have a, what do they have, like 4 acres? But it, her brother Nolan hooked up like a giant cargo net suspended from the trees. It was like a little ladder to walk up. But like people, if you, I don't know, probably a lot of people listen to this podcast and never just hung out in a giant net. Like it's so comfortable. And like you're just hanging out in there. It's like, this is great. Like what am I doing sitting on couches like an idiot?
Yeah, it just has a little bit of give, but it's like more sturdy than a hammock. And like you feel safe. Were you on the one that you have to climb the ladder to?
Yeah.
The big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one. That's where we were later that night. And it's such an awesome view of the party going on below. Like.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you got some quality time. I would say that was one of the peaks of the night, you know, as far as just enjoying being there. The rest of the time I was so caught up in the excitement of seeing everybody and the music and the food and everything just going on that up there, I was able to just chill and be like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the only downside of the net is like, I can't be the first one in. Somebody's got to hold my beer while I get in there. Then it's like, all right, we need like 4 more beers up here. So we're going to be up here for half an hour.
Yeah. I didn't bring enough soda water up there either. I don't think anyone plans for how long it actually takes.
I mean, the only time I've been up there and not been thirsty was, it was me, Brad and Taryn, like one random night. Literally Taryn was like, I'm getting a bottle of wine. You better get like 5 beers. It's like, good thinking.
Yeah, the person that lives there knows the drill.
Right.
And gave you the heads up. Got it. That checks out. Yeah, so that was a ton of fun. And yeah, it just felt great. The other thing, Ted, I listened to Contraband by Velvet Revolver for the first time in probably like 8 to 10 years.
All right. And,
you know, we go out through KISW and, you know, they used to play that band a ton. And like, if you haven't listened to that first Velvet Revolver record in a while, man, you'll probably be pretty stoked you did. There are some absolute bangers on there. And I forgot how much I loved that back in the day.
Dude, seeing Velvet Revolver back in the day at Showbox Market, like it was a great show. And I remember the next day going into work and I was like, look, man, I don't know how to explain it, but if I'm attracted to just a dude, like it's Scott Weiland. Like he was electric that night and just moving on stage. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. The dude just like, and I know he had a lot of shows where he's too messed up, but he was on it that night. It was sexy. It was awesome. It was sleazy. It was fucking rock.
Yeah. Oh man. That's so cool. I thought you were going to talk about, cause I know you saw them at the Gorge too, right?
I did.
You saw them at the Market. That's insane.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. And I had the same experience watching the other big super group from that time, Chris Cornell with Audio Slave, Lollapalooza back in 2003. I was like, do I like dudes now? Or is this guy just like special? Like, what's the deal here? I was still trying to figure it out, but just a beautiful, talented, sexy man. And you just got to give it up when it's due. So, yeah, Scott Weiland's got that same vibe. That was such a wild time in history when Velvet Revolver and Audio Slave were both like out at the same time.
Yeah, it's like our good buddy Barnes, like he's like, I saw Weiland once and it was the worst show I've ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I think he's 50-50. But when I saw him that night, he was on it.
Yeah, you like get it when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize you saw him at the Market. Now, I'm stoked for you. I'm trying to not be jealous when I hear my friends do cool stuff that I didn't like. I don't know if that's a character flaw, but it's something I'm working on.
I'll give you this much. I never go, you know what's wrong with Matt? Jealous. Jealous all the time.
Yeah,
bring it up. Hate's a good story. Daddy's the worst.
Well, that's good to know. That's what's mattening this week. And yeah, thanks again to Taryn and Brad for having us up. That was a blast.
Yeah. It was an awesome time. All right, we'll take our second break real quick and we'll come back to the cop topic. All right, welcome back. Matt, what are you thinking?
Is it
about that time?
Boop, doop, Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Now, boys, I don't know if we've done this one before, but we were all at a little get-together over the weekend, as you guys mentioned. Pretty fun. Always when you're meeting new people, you know, people are hearing your name for the first time. You're saying hello. And I feel like there's just always some jokes. My last name, obviously, is Cobb. With that comes jokes like Cobb salad, corn on the cob. And everybody thinks they're original. They think they're the first one to come with this brilliant, brilliant joke that took them a second and a half. It's a reaction. So I've got some things I say back and, you know, usually sort of defray it a little bit. We have a little shared laugh that I've had 1,000 times before, and then we move on. Obviously, Ted, you have probably the most generic name in America, Ted Smith.
It's pretty plain.
Maybe John Smith. John's got your beat, but that's about it. Matt, your last name is a very popular drug. So yeah. The top topic this week is, what are the jokes that you get with your name over and over again, or what has been your favorite? Email us, email at thepodcast.com, or hit us up on the Twitter machine. Boys?
All right, so I will first say this. When you're a fat kid and you're maybe playing football, a bunch of dudes, the fact that your name was Teddy, that could easily be Teddy, that did not work out so well.
Teddy the left tackle.
I mean, other than that, sometimes you're just like, what's your real name? Like, all right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, with the last name Coke, and it's spelt K-O-C-H. So there's been a lot of jokes over the years. Like, growing up, it's like there was actually a teacher in third grade, Mrs. Berger, and my last name was Coke, and it was like Burger and Coke. And, you know, it was all about the drink growing up. And then people realized that it kind of looks like how you could pronounce Coke. And that got annoying. And I'd just be like, why is that so at the front of your mind? Like, it looks like Koch. And just, there's just a little bit of that. But one of my favorites I came up with, because I was in like sixth grade when I made my AIM screen name, and I didn't know what 69 was, and I didn't really know cocaine addiction was, but I heard references of those things. And so I made my screen name Cokehead 69.
Oh, that was on AIM?
Yeah.
Is that on AIM on the semester? Cokehead 69. Yeah. Jesus.
Yahoo.com or AOL.
AOL.com.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I just remember my mom being like mortified that I came up with that, but I didn't know what either part of it really meant. I thought it was original. It was, but I didn't fully understand all the context.
Jesus. There's some situations as a parent that's just like, this was not in the manual. Like, what do you do here? My kid just named himself Cokehead 69 on AOL Instant Messenger.
I just feel like in the IMs back in the day, or he's in some chat room and it's like Cokehead 69, like, I'm totally 21. But throwing a cake.
Yeah, seriously. Jesus.
Man for a woman.
Well, Matt, congratulations. You win.
Right, I was going to say, Cokehead 69 works. That should, that should almost be the title of this podcast.
That's
the first one is just not numbered.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, there you go. For Cokehead 69, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.